Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. And today I'm going to be reviewing the book The Golem and the Genie by Helen Wecker, or Helena Wecker. Not really quite sure how to pronounce the name. It was from 2013, and I think this was one of those books which was nominated for a Nebula Award. Yes, it was, yeah. Nominated for the Nebula Award in 2014, the World Fantasy Award for Best Novel, and it won the 2014 Mythopoeic Award, which I have never heard of before. I listened to the audiobook by, narrated by George Gajul, and it's very good. Very, very good narration. I probably don't think I would have got through this book if I was reading it as a textbook, ebook, whatever, reading the words off the page, because it does start, well, it starts pretty well, but it does, there's some slow sections. Let me do the setup. It's called The Golem and the Genie, and the two main characters, one of them is a golem and one of them is a genie. And the way it's set is this, that a thousand years ago, somewhere in Syria, or in the area that is now Syria, there was a genie who got caught and put into a lamp. And then this lamp was passed around and it was used to hold this, but nobody had ever done anything to the lamp to let the genie out until 1899 in New York, in Little Syria, the place where all the Syrian immigrants come to or go to live when they first arrive in New York, when they first arrive in America. That's the place where they're all hanging out. There was a someone who had this flask, and they're like, "Ah, something's broken on this. We need it a little bit fixed. So I'm going to go and take it along to a tinsmith." And the tinsmith is called Arbili, and Arbili does something to it. Can't remember exactly what, because it was a while ago that I finished this book, or even started this book. And suddenly the genie pops out, and the genie has this bit of steel, this bit of metal around his wrist, which keeps the genie in human form and has kept the genie inside the lamp for the last 1,000 years. So the genie pops out, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" And then there's a genie, and he's living in New York. And it turns out he's actually pretty good with his fingers, because he's always on fire. Well, not always on fire, but he's always got this heat around him. Even though he's on human form, he still has some of his powers. Like he can run really fast, and he's quite strong. And also he can bend metal. Like he can use the heat to melt metal, or to make metal more malleable. So the genie takes the name Ahmed, and is then just living in New York and working at the tinsmith with Arbili, and he goes about his business, learning how to live in New York in 1899, and going on taking trips to the park and taking trips on railways, on the elevated railways and things like that. So that's one part of the story. There is more backstory to him, which comes out later in a series of flashbacks, which explains what he's doing there and how he was caught and what was going on there. Meanwhile, in Poland, in Gdansk, I think it was, there is a man who lost his wife, and he has some money, and he's like, "You know what? I'm going to get myself a new wife to take to America, because I'm going to move to America." But instead, he was like, "Right, okay, I'm going to get a golem." So he gets this guy. Did I make a note? Let me have a look at my phone if I've made any notes here of what the character names are. I think I did make some notes here. So the guy gets someone to make him a, what's his name? Shalman. Oh yeah, this was a funny thing. So when I was writing this down, Shalman is one of the characters who is like a bad guy character, especially at the start. You know, you read about his story and then he disappears from the story for a while and then comes back later. But as I was writing his name, I typed in Shalman, but my phone decided to autocorrect that to Shaman. And I was like, "Oh, that's interesting, Shaman." And then, mild spoilers later, I was like, "Oh, okay, so he is kind of a Shaman figure as well as a Jewish priest, ex-priest, who got into the dark arts, and he can make a golem. And the golem is made out of clay, but with real human hair and real like fingernails and other bits and pieces from real bodies. Puts this golem together, puts it into a box, and then on the way to New York, this guy who was going over to New York, he says the magic words, the golem comes to life as his wife, but then he almost immediately dies because he's already dying. He's only meant to bring his golem wife to life once he reached America, but he does it early because he's dying and just wants to see his wife. And then she is abandoned. Then she gets into New York and is just like abandoned there because she doesn't have anyone to look after her. She doesn't have an identity. She doesn't have any memories. She has also got some superpowers of strength and anger and she doesn't sleep and she's very good. She's kind of like a robotic mind. That's kind of what the golem, you know, when you think back to the history of robots and stuff, it goes back via golems, I guess, with controllable human things, human-shaped things. And yeah, and then she also, Jewish. I guess she's not Jewish, but her husband was Jewish and she comes from Jewish Poland in a way. She's taken in by a rabbi and Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Levi, I can't remember, one of the two, and he looks after her and teaches her a little bit about life in New York, and she gets a job at a bakery and also goes about life, living life as a Jewish immigrant. So you've got these two parallel stories going on with a Jewish immigrant in New York and also a Syrian immigrant in New York, both of them fantastical creatures from fairy tales and legend, and both getting along in New York and meeting up with people and having kind of some kind of love affairs. But all the time I was thinking, well, okay, this seems to be, I don't read many romance novels, but this felt very much like a romance novel at the start with these two characters set up. And I was like, are they going to meet? So also it's kind of like urban fantasy because you've got like the magic and mysticism stuff going on too. And also, you know, kind of like the, you know, so it's a paranormal romance urban historical fiction kind of thing. That's the way that I'd wrap this book up. Those are the categories I would put this in, or the tags that I would associate with this novel. It's got all, you know, it's got fantasy in there, and romance and historical fiction. And so you're like, when are these two characters going to meet up? And they do meet up, and it's pretty good. And that's kind of, again, once what goes on from there, it's like, it's hardly a spoiler to say, this is the setup, and do they meet up? Yes, they do meet up. But then what happens afterwards is actually, I was, part of the way through this book, I was like, right, I'm actually enjoying this, because we get lots of vignettes of what it is like to be an immigrant in New York in 1899. You know, you've got all these tenement buildings, and some people have got more money and some people have got less money. And it's about the different communities there, how tight the Syrian community is and how tight the Jewish community is. And these other communities, you kind of get these different views into these different parts of New York. And it's a bit of a, like a historical, you can see a lot of research has got into there, what New York was like in 1899. And, you know, they go up to Central Park at some point, all these different kind of things, what you'd expect from a, hey, what's New York like at this point? But it tells the immigrant story and you know, what it's like to arrive somewhere and not speak the local language, and then you kind of gravitate towards other people who speak the same language, and then some people move out of New York again and some people don't, you know, stay in New York. So that's all pretty good. Like I say, it's not just vignettes of what's happening to the golem and the genie. We do get bits of their backstory throughout and other bits and pieces, but then you'll get like, oh, and then this character is doing this today. Oh, and this character, here's their backstory of what life was like for them in Poland. Oh, and here's this character, what life was like for them in Syria. Oh, and here's this character and what it's like to be pregnant when you're not married. And here's this character, you know, all of these different storylines. Well, not storylines, all of these little vignettes and stories kind of pop up at the start of the book. And I quite enjoyed all of them. I was always thinking, hey, what's this got to do with the golem and the genie? Why are we following this? All right, I see. And later, a lot of it comes up together. So different characters like this. You've got Michael Levy, who is kind of a love interest, who kind of is a love interest for the golem, and you've got Sophia, who is kind of the love interest for the genie. Billy, I mentioned before, he's the tinsmith. There's the people who work at the bakery, Anna, the baker friends and stuff, and those kind of different things. And you get like lots of glimpses. There's lots of different ways into the life of these people in New York. All pretty good. But then there's this part in the middle, like once they kind of, it takes a while for them to meet up, probably about halfway, well, maybe not halfway through the book, but you know, two thirds to half of the way through the book before the golem, who is called Ahmed and the golem is called Hava, which is the Yiddish word for life, which is a pretty cool name. Chava, which is she's named by the rabbi who she meets up with when she first gets to New York, and Ahmed. So Chava and Ahmed, it takes them a while to meet up, and when they do, I'm like, oh, this is an interesting thing. There wasn't immediately like a romance. Oh, will they? Won't they? Of course, there is that kind of thing going on, but it's like they meet up, and they are the first people that they've ever met of each other who have similar problems. Not like, oh, I am an immigrant in New York, but I'm an immigrant in New York who doesn't sleep and can work all night fixing dresses without any problem. But I'm a woman, so it's kind of dangerous for me to go outside. And also, I'm a golem, so I have super strength. And if anyone attacks me, I will just kill them and then kill the next person and get out of control. Whereas Ahmed is just, he's more like, well, I'm a man, so I'm going to go around and I'm going to go out on the town and I'm going to meet lots of people. I'm going to run across the rooftops. I'm going to be called the Sultan by all the policemen who see me but don't know, I'm not doing any crimes or whatever, or they've never been able to catch me or anything like that because I can run away really quickly. So it's one of those fun things that you get from these, you know, these kind of like superhero stories where it's like Peter Parker. Sure, he's a guy who turns into a Superman, but what we really want to do is see a kid struggle with having a superhero and living life in New York with this superpower. And we get that from The Golem and the Genie, which is pretty cool. The middle part of the book, though, does kind of go a bit flat. There is this big section where I'm like, wow, there's a lot of time here in the middle where the story is not going forward at all. Like, lots of the characters are kind of circling around each other, and this character's over here, and then this character's over there, and then this character does this, and this character's doing that, and I'm just like, but wait, aren't we meant to be, like, moving on? Why can't we move on with some of this? When was the story going to kick into gear? And then, in the last kind of quarter, one-eighth of the book, the story does come back around again, but at that point, I was just like, but everyone seems to be doing fine, and it was this weird thing where it was like, as I was reading through the book, there was kind of conflict, but there wasn't conflict, and that's what I was thinking, well, it's a romance. The only conflict is the people, they just need to get together at the end of the book, and once they get together at the end of the book, that's kind of what I'm looking for in this book, you know, things are going to get in the way, but then the things that do get in the way at the end didn't really make sense. Like, so one of the characters suddenly makes a decision. I'm just like, why did you do that? That's obviously the wrong thing to do. And somebody else, and you go, oh, well, there's some like explaining about free will, and does a golem have free will, and does a genie have free will? You know, there's a whole thing about, oh, well, people can command a genie, and people do command a golem, and there's these magic words, and there's lots of kind of bitty detail about this kind of stuff, but it doesn't really ever kind of explain. Like, if you're going to say, okay, a genie is stuck in human form, and also, you know, every time that we talk to see this person, pretty much is thinking like a human and acting like a human, talking like a human, has the same urges as a human, and doing all the other things like a human. You're like, okay, well, that character, if they suddenly do something which feels like bad writing, you can't go, oh, but they did that because they're a genie, and genies are different than most. You kind of got to put that work in. And that's even more so with the golem. Like, if the golem has these thoughts and has these ideas and has these interests and knows what it's like to be a golem and doesn't know what it's like to be a human, and a human, it feels like, you know, that, you know, the alien trying to pass for human in the human world. There's all of those kind of things going on, and then she just makes a decision, and the decision isn't really explained well enough in terms of what her character has come from, has characters come along, what's come along in her character so far in the story. So that's a pity, that like what kicks off the end of the story. And then the end of the story actually does wrap up a lot of the loose ends and a lot of the vignettes and all that kind of thing. It's like, what's this person got to do with this story? Why is this person so important? What's going on with this thing, okay, over here? And what about these magic words and this kind of stuff? It does all come together in the end in a way which is a little bit neat, I do think, but fine. And yep, and then it ends, and I'm just like, right, okay, that was okay. Like, there was a lot of promise at the start, kind of loses its way part of the way through, wraps up mostly okay, but slightly disappointingly, which is a real pity, because I'd heard lots of good things about this book, and in the end, it's kind of fine, and it's a bit annoying that I'd probably give this book 3.5 stars, because what I was expecting was like a really magical journey, and I did like the magic, and I did like the idea that they've got these two different kind of magic ways of looking at magic and fantasy. You've got the golems. Like, a lot of stories would just do the golem, or just do, and it would just be the Frankenstein monster kind of story of a golem who gets life and has to get responsibility and is afraid of their power and things like that. But then also you've got this other magic going on with the Syrian genie and all this other kind of thing. But then I was thinking, what about all the other, like, if those two are magics, magic ways of doing magic with golems and genie, if they are correct and true within this world, and New York has got all of these different peoples, all these different races and nationalities and ethnic cultures and stuff, all of those are coming into New York. Surely it's not just the Syrians and the Polish Jews who have the magic that's working for them. There must be a lot more magic in the world, which isn't just in Syria and isn't just with Polish Jews. What about all of the people from, from Ireland? And why isn't it called the Golem and the Genie and the Leprechaun? Or what about the fairies from this place? Or what about the, Loch Ness Monster? Well, not Loch Ness Monster. But, all of the other magical beings that could come from the rest of the world, why aren't they there as well? And then I realized, oh, actually, what that book would be is American Gods, where you get all these different characters and different magical things, and they all arrive in America, and it's America becomes the mixing bowl of all of these different legends and gods and fairy tales and all these kind of things, and it all gets mixed together in that way. And I didn't even finish that book twice. I tried to read American Gods, didn't finish it either side, because that is just too much of a mess. So in a way, I like the restraint that this is just two, but then there wasn't any logic behind just golems and just genies. Maybe New York is really big and they just never ran into each other. Maybe, well, I don't know. I don't know how it works, why is it that way and why is it not that way? I think a lot of the things in this story come down to it's that way because this is what had to happen for the story to work. It's this way because this was the story that the author wanted to tell, and she told it in this way, and that's fine. It's all fine, but I'm not saying it wasn't rigorous enough. I enjoyed everything that was there. But as I was going through, I was like, really? Is this all of the magic in all of New York? Of the millions and millions of people who come into New York and through New York and come through Ellis Island and go across here and do that? So that's it. What I did enjoy, and I will get to this, I did enjoy a lot of the writing. The writing is very interesting, and the characters do come to life. I enjoy that. What's really great, though, is the narrator. I mentioned this before. I might as well just do the Audible ad now. If you want to get this book for free, I really do recommend it as an audiobook. Go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP. It is narrated by George Goodall, and it was a finalist in the 2014 Audi Awards, which is the audiobook awards, I think, by Audible. So all of the books on Audible. It's actually not even just on Audible. It's actually the Audio Awards by the Audio Publishers Association. So of all audiobooks that came out in 2014, this was a finalist. I'm guessing in the... I don't know. I'm guessing in the fiction. Maybe this is literary fiction. Maybe this it's about themes and about this as well. But it could be in the... I'd probably be in the fantasy or paranormal or romance section, or maybe in all fiction or something like that. But this is a really good book. George Goodall is, like I say, a great narrator, and this is really interesting because he has to do different voices of different characters from all over the world, and it all just comes together really well. And like I said before, if I was reading this book, I would have probably started and be like, yeah, okay, and got like a third of the way and half of the way, and I'd have been like, this is a bit slow, and I might not have pushed through to the end. I'm glad I did push through to the end, but an audiobook did make it a lot easier for me to get through this, and I enjoyed it a lot because it's like 496 pages, it says here on Wikipedia. Let me have a look at the how long the audiobook is. It's a pretty long book, and I think this is my main criticism of this book. It's just a bit too long. Let's have a look here. What does it say here on Audible? The Golem and the Genie, 19 hours and 43 minutes. This should really have been a 13 or 14 hour audiobook rather than a 20 hour audiobook, but you do get a lot of book for your money, and if you go to audibletrial.com/SFBIP, you can get this book or 80,000 other books, one of 180,000 other books for free. Check it out. And by going to audibletrial.com/SFBAP, you also support this podcast when you sign up for an Audible account and get your free audiobook there. So I would recommend this book and other books as well. But this book is a very good audiobook. I was very impressed by it. So what else do I have to say about this? Yeah, normally I talk about like the themes and of the book. But I couldn't really think of anything except the obvious ones about, like, you know, it's people being out of touch with their home, and then they go and find a new home, and, you know, and there's that free will stuff that's in there as well with golems and genies and stuff. And I was like, maybe there must be more in here that I'm not quite sure about. So anyway, I looked here on Wikipedia, and it says, themes. Reviewers latched onto the themes of immigration within the novel. The New York Times said the novel neatly lends itself to allegory, contrasting several old worlds with the immigrant experience and its new class divisions. It's a traditional story about assimilation as the golem and genie navigate life under challenging constraints and are forced to suppress their true natures. The immigrants around them, too, struggle in a new world that is strange and suspicious of the present. Above all, it is a story about the painful burdens of history and identity. And I'm just like, sure, great. This can be a literary book if you read into it, but I don't know, that's so much on the surface for me that it's so obviously about that it's so obviously about immigration and finding a place in the world and history and identity and the things that you bring with you from your old world, setting up in your new country and stuff like that. It's so much obviously about that I can't even say more about it. It's just like, well, you just read the book, it's all there. Reviewer Abigail Nussbaum, writing for Strange Behind It, believes the novel has a strong theme of loneliness. Yes, it is about being loneliness. Literally, somebody is sitting at home all the time going, I'm lonely, I'm lonely. So it kind of, this book is one of those books which kind of wears its theme like very, I wouldn't say obviously, but like very clearly. Like it's like going, okay, I'm going to talk about immigration and loneliness and free will and finding our place in the world. And this is the book. And it's good, a book about that, but I don't think it rises above those obvious themes to say more about the world or more about my life, even though I am an immigrant. I did move to another country almost 11 years ago, and now I'm here, and it's great that I'm here, and I do see some similar things, but it didn't really tell me anything new about myself, you know. And I think great books which have great themes can tell you more about yourself and about your own journey or about the world or about, you know, the human condition more than is just talking about the characters in the book. Like, sure, this book is about the characters in the book, but it seems to be mostly about the characters in the book more than about me, even though I am an immigrant in a different country. Good, but didn't really stand out to me thematically, this book, which is fine. So I'm going to give this book, it is a good book. I do recommend reading it. It is fun. There are some interesting things. It is a bit too long, but push through that middle section and ignore some of the silliness at the end. It's nowhere near as silly as the unforgettable book that I reviewed in the last episode when me and Juliana talked about that, where I'm just like, it gets really silly. It doesn't get that silly at the end. It's a little bit silly. But otherwise, it's fine. It's, like I say, it's a good fantasy, paranormal, urban, historical romance kind of thing, and it's good. I'd recommend it. So I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. Next up, I will be reviewing probably Diaspora by Greg Egan. I am part of the way through that. I've got some other audiobooks that I've got here on my iPhone. What was the one that I started? I'm a few hours into a fantasy book called, oh yeah, Malazan, Book 3, Memories of Ice. Although I started that, and I'm thinking, why did I start that? Because there's going to be another big fantasy book coming out, the latest in the Prince of Nothing series by Scott R. Bakker. And I'm like, well, maybe, no, R. Scott Bakker. And I thought, well, maybe I should just read that one first and then, you know, get a new, because that's newly coming out. I might as well get to that one first. But anyway, I'm sure I'll get to these ones as well. I'll review Pavana by Keith Roberts. As soon as Juliana's finished that, I will get through that one. And there's a few other books that I'm getting to, so look out for them in the future. I think that's it for me. You can email me, luke@juggler.net. Follow me on Twitter. I'm @LukeBurridge on Twitter. I'm also @LukeBurridge on Instagram if you want to see some photos of my life. Not a lot to do with science fiction on there as well. And also become my friends on Goodreads and join the SFBRP listener group, and anytime we get into deeper discussions there and you want to review, you want to recommend some books to me, go across there to the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com. And in this way, actually, this is always cool. I always like to see what other people think of the books that I review. So let me scroll down here on the Goodreads page. Jenny from Reading Envy rated this 4 stars. Margaret, 5 stars. Ludo, 4 stars. Let's scroll down a bit. Ronald rated it 3 stars. And then Ziven rated it 5 stars. So lots of, you know, mostly 3 to 5 star ratings here by SFBRP listeners. Let me see what the average of my friends on Goodreads, which is pretty much, a 4.04 average, and overall a 4.09. So I have a slightly less of a good opinion about this, but it seems to be a solid 4-star book on Goodreads. So check out The Golem and the Genie. That's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.